If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in the book of Acts, chapter 2. Acts, chapter 2. And in closing this series, I want to talk a little bit about Christians, what they are, but also give you some, you say, a little bit of a challenge as far as not only our relationship with God, but Christians, our relationship with one another. John talks a lot about that in the book of 1 John as far as not just belonging to God, but if we belong to God, we should love one another as well. Talking about love for others as far as believers and Christians because of the relationship that we now have because of our relationship to God through Jesus Christ. You see, Christians belong to God, all of them. Not just some of them. All Christians belong to God. And when someone is saved, God forgives their sins and He accepts them into His family. They are brought into the family of God. All of them. Not just a few. Not just the ones we think should be in the family of God. But all that put their faith in Jesus Christ are brought into the family of God. That makes all Christians brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what the Bible teaches. That all Christians are brothers and sisters in Christ. Now that's a unique relationship, is what that is. A unique relationship that produces many blessings. And this morning, I want to talk about one, which is fellowship. I want to talk about the blessing that we have of being able to fellowship one with another, because we are now part of God's family. In the book of Acts, I just want to read in chapter 2, if you have your Bibles, Acts chapter 2. And we're going to go back, we're going to go to verse 37. It says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said unto them, Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then in verse 39, it says, For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." You'll notice they were brought in to the church, but obviously when they're saved, they're also brought into the family of God. Verse 42, it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and in breaking of bread and prayers. Fear came upon every soul, and did many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." And verse 44 says, "And all that believed were together and had all things in common." We find in this passage, you'll notice it mentioned it in verse 42, that they continued to fellowship one with another. But we also find verse 44 that they remained together. There was a unity there. Now obviously they, I believe, met together. That doesn't mean that they were attached to the hip, and where one went, the others went. I imagine they all had their different directions they would go as far as during the daytime. And we're not told all the details of their life as far as all the little details, but they did remain together. They remained as a unit. And why is that? It's because they all belong to God now. And they had fellowship together. You see, the Christian is part of God's family. And because of this, the Christian is able to fellowship with other Christians. And that's what I want to talk about for the next few minutes. So let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll go further in our message. Lord, we do thank you for saving our souls. We thank you for bringing us into your family. We thank you for giving us all the blessings that you do. And this morning, as we consider the fellowship that we can have one with another in your name, I pray that you will open up your word to us, challenge us a little bit, convict us if need be, encourage us, comfort us, whatever the case may be. Holy Spirit, I pray you work in our hearts this morning. We do ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to give you three thoughts on fellowship. These are just three thoughts on fellowship that I have in preparation of this message, just thinking about the blessings that God has given us, where we can now fellowship one with another. I had three thoughts, and on each one of these thoughts, I have 3 points. So if you're taking notes, I have a lot of thoughts and points this morning for you. I want to talk first about the demands of fellowship, okay? The demands of fellowship. To begin with, if you're going to fellowship with other believers, you have to take the time. There must be time. I think of this passage here. The Bible tells us that they were saved. These new believers were saved. They were added to the church. They could have been other places. They could have taken off. They could have went elsewhere, but the Bible tells us that they remain together. I think this morning, there are probably 1,000 places you could be this morning, but you have chosen to be here. And I thank the Lord for that. You see, it's a decision that you must make, that you're going to fellowship with other believers, that you're going to remain together as a unit. And that's what we find, that they remain together. Now, in this world today, there are a lot of distractions. You know, I mentioned a second ago that there are 1,000 other places you could be. It's probably an understatement. There's probably 1,000,000 other places you could be this morning. There are a lot of things we could be doing instead of fellowshipping with believers. And sometimes that happens. Sometimes that happens. We allow all these distractions to hinder our fellowship, of course, with God. And then sometimes it hinders our fellowship with other Christians and other believers. You see, those distractions can pull us away from what's important. They can also pull us away from what we really need, what we require. You know, I enjoy watching television, if it's a good show or maybe a sporting event. But to be honest with you, I don't get very inspired by those. Sometimes I get downright frustrated if I'm watching my team and they're failing. But when you fellowship with other believers, you can be inspired, as we'll talk about here in a little bit. We can be encouraged. You see, there's value in fellowship that we find, spiritual value in fellowshipping with one another. But we must take time to do it. You have to make a decision that you're going to do it. Just like joining a church and being part of a church, it's a commitment, it's a decision you make. And to continue fellowshipping with one another is a decision that you have to make. And they made that decision. They remained together. So the demands of fellowship, first, there must be time. Secondly, there must be truth. What I mean by that is there has to be something that fellowship is grounded upon. And when it comes to religion or Christianity, there has to be truth. And why does there have to be truth? Because without truth, and by the way, Jesus is truth. He himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Without truth, we can have all sorts of discussions and conversations, but really there's not going to be any solid or good fellowship. You see, there has to be something we have in common. Looking around our auditorium this morning, there are a lot of things we probably don't have in common, if you would look around. We all come from different places, and we're all going different places as far as life is concerned. We all have different backgrounds. Some were born here in Little Rock. Some were born in Arkansas. Some were born in another state. Perhaps there are some here that are born out of the country. You see, we all come from different directions. Tomorrow morning, we're going to wake up probably and all go different directions. Different careers. Different neighborhoods we live in. See, we have all those things that are different. Yet Christians have one thing in common. And that's Christ. That's truth. And with that one thing in common, that one person in common, we can have fellowship. You see, when you walk through those doors, it's almost as if everything else is gone. You're now a brother in Christ, a sister in Christ, and you can fellowship one with another. And that's the blessing that we have of being part of God's family. You know, I think back just to regular families. You talk about families today. I've seen family reunions. People will get together. And for the most part, they have different careers. They've gone different directions. But they have family in common, and they come back. Maybe have a barbecue. Maybe have some get-together. And they might not even agree on all things. Sometimes they disagree on a lot of things. Yet, a strong family can put those aside, and they can get together and have a meal or just catch up on things. It should be the same with Christians. You know, we can set aside some of our preferences, our opinions for a moment. We can have fellowship in Christ because He's truth. And that's something we agree on and something that we can fellowship over, and that's Jesus Christ. So even though we come from different backgrounds, we can all agree on Christ. Now, I have some verses to look at here this morning. Let's go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to read 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 5 and 6 is what I want to read. And this is Paul writing to Timothy. And notice he says, "For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." He says, "who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." I just wanted to point that out because we must remember, as Christians, we have one God and one Savior. Okay? God didn't send a different Savior for a different group of people. He didn't send one Savior for Americans and another Savior for a different nationality, or one Savior for one profession and a different Savior for a different profession. There's just one Savior, Jesus Christ. And there's one God. And so those that are saved the same way, and we have that in common. Paul talks about this in some of his letters. The common salvation is what he talks about. That's what we have in common. You know, this morning, if nothing else, we all have the fact that we're sinners saved by grace in common. And so we can fellowship over that. We can have sweet fellowship knowing that Christ has saved us. I think back to this first church. That's what we're talking about. They had a good mixture in this first church. You just think of the apostles. We don't know the backgrounds of most in the first church. But as far as the apostles, you had fishermen. You had tax collectors. You had some men that were, as far as working for the government, they were employed by the government. Then you had, we know of one who would be considered what we would call a rebel towards the government. Didn't want anything to do with the government. And you have that mixture, yet they were brought together under Christ. And they worked together. I imagine they had a lot of good conversations, the apostles. We find them being very, very vocal at times. Just like we would be. Yet we find they were able to serve God together. And this first church had a lot of people from different backgrounds. And they had a lot of probably opinions and preferences. But they were united in Christ. And they were able to serve God together in fellowship. So, we find as far as fellowship, the demands, there must be time. There must be truth. We have to know Christ. And by the way, to know Christ for your Savior is what's important. Understanding you're a sinner, repenting of that sin, and believing on Christ to be saved, brought into God's family, so you can fellowship with one another. And then thirdly, there must be what I call trust. There must be trust if you're going to have good fellowship. Now, obviously we have to trust in God. But I want to talk about trusting each other if we're going to fellowship with one another. You got to trust someone that they're going to listen to you, right? Have you ever talked to someone that didn't listen? I don't talk very long if someone's not listening. I just don't. I'll just stop. I don't be rude, but I'll just move on. If someone's not listening, it's hard to fellowship with them. They're just busy with their own lives. So you have to trust someone's going to listen. Also, you have to trust they're going to be a blessing instead of a burden. You don't want to tell someone something so they can turn around and just tear you up with it, right? You want to trust someone that they're going to be a blessing to you. They're not going to be a burden upon you when you fellowship with them. And then thirdly, you're going to share something with someone, you're going to trust them to keep it. All right? You share something with someone, you're going to trust them. They won't go and tell their neighbor and everyone else's neighbor, and they won't gossip about it. You see, that's where trust comes in. And by the way, I think as Christians, we should be that type of people. We shouldn't gossip. We shouldn't slander. We shouldn't backbite. You know, the Bible talks about a lot of those things. When we fellowship, we need to apply all that. When we fellowship with one another, we should be earnest in fellowship. We should be faithful in fellowship. And also, we should keep those things that people tell us in secret and not tell everyone else about it. You see, that's part of fellowship. We should be trustworthy in fellowship. And we should be willing to trust others to have fellowship. You know, a lot of times fellowship grows. I read recently, a pastor wrote an article on fellowship. He said that's one of the, he goes, that's one of those things in a church. He goes, a pastor can't teach that in a church. He said a lot of things a pastor can teach. He said a lot of things a pastor can go through the scriptures. A pastor can teach doctrines. And a pastor can teach, you know, church polity. And a pastor can teach all these things. But a pastor can't teach fellowship. That's something that has to come about by the people. By the work of the Spirit in their lives. And by them fellowshipping with one another and choosing to do that. And that's something that we can all do. And it begins, obviously, with trust, trusting one another. So a Christian can fellowship with each other. That's why a Christian is unique, and that's why we're blessed. Christians can fellowship with one another because we have Christ in common. So there are some demands to fellowship. Secondly, I want to talk about some dangers to fellowship, because there are some dangers in fellowship as well. First, danger I want to warn us of, or have us beware of. Fellowship can be selfish. Right? Fellowship can be very selfish. When someone acts selfishly, they make everything about them. Everything they talk about, everything they do, it's just all about them. And fellowship can turn into that. You can turn that into where I'm just going to tell everybody my problems, my cares, my concerns, and all I'm going to talk about is myself. Now, folks, there's nothing wrong with sharing your burdens, but let's make sure we also take time to listen to others as well. Let's not make it just about us. Let's make sure that we are listening. Someone put it this way once: if you make it just about yourself, eventually it will be just yourself you fellowship with, and that's no longer fellowship because it's just one person, so you don't have that fellowship. You see, let's make sure we're listening as well as sharing. And if not, fellowship can become selfish. Turn with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. I think here, this is a good passage here that Paul talks about as far as fellowship the Christian can have and a little bit of our responsibilities towards one another. Galatians chapter 6 verse 1 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Verse 2, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." That's in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 2. You'll notice a few things there. First, we should consider others. You know, it's not just going through life thinking about what we want and trying to achieve our personal goals. We should consider one another. And if you come across a brother or sister in Christ who is overcoming a fault or maybe struggling, having a difficult time, we're not just to continue past them and just say, "Well, I'll get through. Hope they, you know, make it or even push them while they're down." The Bible tells us we're to help them if we can. We're to bear one another's burdens. Now, there's some burdens that, of course, each one has to bear on their own. But there are some burdens we can help with. You know, when someone is discouraged, even a phone call makes a difference. You know, we live in a day and age where people say we're a social culture. I don't think so. Because we find people are more lonely today and depressed than they've ever been. Yet we have all these tools at our disposal. You can write a letter. You can send a text. You can make a phone call. You can send an email. There are so many ways we can encourage one another. Just think about ways you can help someone out. And you may not be able to carry the burden fully, but you can help them through their difficult times. You see, that's what Paul is talking about, considering one another, carrying a burden. Then there may be times it's a physical burden where you can actually help them out. You know, you're going to work tomorrow morning and you see a brother or sister in Christ get a flat tire. And say, "Well, hope you get it fixed." You may be able to swing by, see if they need some help, and actually help them with that burden. Give them a ride somewhere, help them change a tire, whatever the case may be. You see, we're to consider one another. Instead of being selfish in our fellowship, we're to be selfless in fellowship. But that's the first danger. Here's the second danger that can come with fellowship. It can be shallow. It can be shallow. Sometimes fellowship can be as simple as high and by. And there's nothing wrong with high and by, but there's not much to high and by either. Just high and by and just move on. You know, someone put it this way once, as far as church is concerned, we often know each other by face and by name, but sometimes we don't know our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. We just don't know them. We haven't taken the time to fellowship with them. And it's not to pry into their life, but just to get to know one another. Also, we can talk about everything but God. That happens too. Now, I'm not opposed to talking about weather and sports and news and other things. There's nothing wrong with those. But most of those subjects simply inform, is all they do. They don't inspire. When we talk about the things of God, the spiritual matters, those encourage our heart. And think about all the subjects that we can talk about. You can talk about salvation. You can talk about living for God. You can talk about strength from God through Christ. You can talk about victory over sin. You can talk about wisdom. You can talk about knowledge. You know, the list goes on and on and on. Of all the subjects we have to talk about in fellowship. Now, that's not saying you have to sit and have a class or discussion over something, but just in conversation, if nothing else, you can share how God has blessed you at times. We have so much to talk about when it comes to things of God, but if we're not careful, we can talk nothing about God and just have what we would call shallow fellowship. Number three, here's the third danger. We can also make fellowship with one another a substitute for our fellowship with God. Be careful of this. Here's two ways it happens, I think, or a few ways. First, some people go to church simply to talk to others. Now, I think it's good to go to church and have fellowship, but most importantly, we should be seeking after the Lord when we come to church, whether it's singing praises unto Him. You know, that's why as a church, as far as I'm concerned, as long as I'm pastor, we're always going to have congregational singing. That gives the church a chance to praise God in music. Everyone can sing unto God and praise the Lord in music. And that's an opportunity you have when you come to church every Sunday or whenever we sing on Wednesdays. You get a chance to sing praises unto God. Sing as loud as you want, too. Okay, I sing out of tune. You know, we're singing our practice, our group singing, and someone asked me, "What note are you hit?" I said, "I hit all of them, usually in the same song." Without meaning to. I hit all the notes. So, sing unto the Lord from our heart. That's what God wants. And we get a chance to do that as far as singing unto the Lord in church. But if we're not careful, we can substitute fellowship with others for fellowship with God. Here's a few other ways it happens, too. We can talk to others about things that we should be taking to God first. And that happens sometimes. Now, I'm not opposed to seeking counsel. I think there are times we should seek some advice or counsel. But let's make sure we're going to God with those things. Sometimes you may find you go to God first, you don't need to go to anybody else. God works it out. Next thing you know, it's all taken care of. You leave it with the Lord. But sometimes we seek the fellowship of others before we seek the fellowship of God. And instead of finding counsel from others, we basically miss out on God's wisdom and His knowledge. Or we may miss out on His comfort that He can provide, His peace and joy for our heart. Instead of that, we receive just some, I guess you say, worldly wisdom or good advice. So let's just be careful of going to others for things that we should be taking to God. Matthew chapter 6 has a little bit on this. And let me turn over there and I'll read it to you. Matthew chapter 6. And we find in verses 31 through 34. And this is Jesus here. And this is, to me, this is probably one of the most practical. I mean, I think all His teachings are practical. But this one here, every time I read it, it hits home for me. It says, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed?" Maybe it hits me because I worry sometimes, or I get concerned over things. And next He says, verse 32, "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You see, when we seek after God, He takes care of those things for us. He'll take care of them in His time and His way, of course. But He takes care of those things. The problem sometimes is we don't seek the Lord. Or if we seek Him, we don't seek Him first. We don't put Him a priority. I'll admit, I've made the mistake of, trying to figure things out on my own, seeking counsel from everybody else. It's almost as if I go to God last when I can't figure things out, when I should be going to Him first, and then working on things and letting God work and direct. So let's make sure that we don't replace fellowship with others in place of fellowship with God. Let's make sure we continue to fellowship with the Lord, and then our fellowship with others, I think, will be a blessing. So those are the dangers of fellowship, just three. And this morning, I want to wrap it up with some discoveries. What we can have, or what we find, when we fellowship one with another. First, you can be enriched when you fellowship with other believers. I think everyone has something to share. I do. I don't underestimate anybody's opinions, or their ideas, or their thoughts. I believe everyone in this auditorium this morning has something to share. And when we fellowship one with another, we are enriched by perhaps their knowledge or their thoughts or their opinions or their ideas, because they've shared that with us. And so you can be enriched from others. Also, you can be strengthened by others. Proverbs 27, if you have your Bibles, this verse here refers to that. Proverbs chapter 27. And we'll look at verse 17. Proverbs chapter 27. And it talks here about in verse 17. It says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." I'm going to read to you again. "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." You know, this morning you can be strengthened by others, or sharpened, so to speak, by others. I tell you, there have been times where, I'll put it in the relationship we're talking about. We're talking about brothers and sisters in Christ. There have been times people have shared things with me that, I thought, man, that's great. Then there have been times people shared something with me and thought, I don't want to hear that. But I needed to hear it. You see, iron sharpeneth iron. And sometimes people can share things with us in ways that can challenge us, convict us, encourage us. That can be done in brothers and sisters in Christ. I think as a brother and sister in Christ, now we don't need to be rude or hateful, but we need to be truthful. We always need to be truthful. And if we see someone in sin, we should encourage them to live right. They may not like it, but you know what? We should say, hey, you know, that's not what the Bible teaches. Or maybe you should consider your ways a little bit. You see, we can challenge others to live right. Paul did that through all his letters to Timothy and Titus and the others. He challenged them to live for God. I think what we find in what I would call modern Christianity, I think churches have found it's easier to lower the standard and appease Christians than it is to try to challenge Christians to live up to the standard of God's Word. And because of that, we have what I would call a low morality. Morality has just dropped amongst Christians. And it's because the standards has been dropped in most churches. And instead of challenging Christians to live for God, to read His Word, and to apply it, instead it's, well, whatever works best for you. Or we'll lower the standard here so that way, you know, you can fit in or feel better. By the way, we don't have the right to lower the standard, folks. Okay? If God has said something, God has said it. We need to keep that there and challenge believers to live according to God's Word. And so that's something that I think, as far as believers, we can challenge one another. Not only can we challenge one another, but I think we can just simply be there for one another. You know, it says iron sharpeneth iron, iron strengthens. There are times where you don't even need to say a word. Just being in the presence of somebody to encourage them will encourage them. There's a story of the late Joseph Parker. He was a pastor in England for many years. And his wife of many years passed away. She had gotten sick and she had passed away. And it just devastated him. He said at that point in his life, he said he thought he could handle most anything. And he said he realized how weak he really was. And it just devastated him. Well, he was scheduled to preach. He had a Thursday service. And he went ahead and he preached it anyway. And a lot of people were kind of surprised, but he got up and he preached it, the message. And in the message, he said that people that whole week had asked him, what can they do? You know, he said it was a typical response. How can we help you? What can you do? Well, in the message, the title of the message was called The Ministry of Silence, is what he called it. And he said, you don't always have to do something to help somebody out. He goes, you can just be there for them. And that's what the message was about. He said, just being there for somebody and knowing they're there is a blessing. Well, when the message was over, he said that he spent some time in his office, he did a few things, and he got all his stuff together and he left the church building. And as he was leaving, he said to his surprise, he said the entire congregation was just sitting out there. The men had their hats off and the women had their heads bowed. He said that he just broke down. He went to his car. He went home. But he said it was the greatest blessing that anybody could ever have given him. He said it was just the ministry of silence is what he called it. Just knowing someone's there to encourage you. Folks, we all need that. Okay? Because nobody's going to have perfect days every single day. Nobody's going to have everything work out the way we want it. And sometimes there are going to be times that, guess what? You just can't share it with somebody. You just don't have the words to say it. But just knowing somebody's there. That's why I think it's good to come to church, even when you're burdened. Because guess what? Somebody's there. Somebody's sitting across from you. Someone's sitting next to you. You don't have to share all your troubles and trials. But you know that someone there is praying for you because you're amongst brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we find that. Another thought on this, in the 80s, a British publication, they offered a prize for the best definition of a friend. And they had all sorts of submissions and everything. And the winning definition was this. And I thought it was good. They said, a friend is the one who comes in when the whole world has gone out. And that was the winning definition of a friend. And I thought that's good. That's what a friend is. Someone who's there. Even if everyone else leaves, they're there for you. And so we find we can enrich one another just in our fellowship with one another. Number two, as far as discoveries of fellowship, you can be encouraged. I think it's best to encourage one another with God's Word. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 18. I'll turn over there real quick. We talk about encouragement. We're told directly in this passage, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And you know, this is often read, whether it's at funerals, after someone's gone home to the Lord. But it says here, it's talking about the return of Christ, is what it's talking about. In verse 16, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead shall in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Verse 18, wherefore, he says, comfort one another with these words. We are told to comfort one another with those words. By the way, I think this coming new year, I know in this new year, I'm going to have a series on the return of Christ. Because that's what we're to look for. And that's where to find comfort in and challenge. And we're to comfort one another with these words. Because we know our Lord and Savior is going to return. We know we're going to be with Him in the future. You see, we're to comfort one another with the Bible and with God's Word. We're to look to be an encouragement. So when we fellowship together, I think it's good to come and be encouraged. But how about we flip it and try to be an encouragement to someone else? I have found days where I tried to encourage someone, and guess what? I was encouraged by them and by others just by simply being around them. William Arthur Ward put it this way, and I think it's good. He said, "Flatter me and I may not believe you. Criticize me and I may not like you. Ignore me and I may not forgive you. Encourage me and I will never forget you." And I think that's good. When we encourage one another, we're a blessing to them. And that's what we can do in fellowship. Why? Because we're part of God's family. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And we should do that. We should look to encourage one another. And here's the final thought here. How about the enjoyment of being around other Christians? The enjoyment of fellowshipping one with another. I'm sure you've all been places where after a while you just felt out of place. I've been there. People were nice, perhaps. I've been places where they weren't nice. And I just felt out of place. Well, when you're around brothers and sisters in Christ, it should not be that way. There should be sweet fellowship. And you know you're with God's family. You know you're with those that have put their faith in Christ. And when that happens, it's a joy to be around. I'm going to share a personal story with you. When I got down here in Arkansas, let me begin with this. When I was in Colorado, I never got jury duty. I got in Arkansas, it seemed like every other year I got jury duty. I still get it, it seems like. And I'm down there all the time. Well, a few years ago, I had jury duty, and I went down there. And here's what usually happens for those who haven't been there recently. You first go in there. Before you get into the courtroom, you have to meet in either a small room, or depending on where you go. If you go to the federal courthouse, you get a little bit bigger room with TVs. But if you go to the small one, you're all stuck in a tiny little room. And you know what usually happens? At least I found it this way. Everyone gets out their phone, and they either sit down or they stand up, and they just sit there on their phone. Nobody talks. Nobody gets to know each other. And so usually I get down there and I'll wait a few minutes. And after a while, if no one talks, then I'll pull mine out and just kind of sit there. But I try to talk to people if I can. A few years ago, I went down for jury duty. Same thing happened. Everyone sat around, got on their phones. And I happened to sit by a man who didn't do that. And we started talking. Come to find out, he was a born-again believer. He was retired. He had been in his Baptist church up north. I think it was in the area just outside of Morrilton is where it was. And he was down there for federal jury duty like I was. And that rest of the time, we had sweet fellowship. I had never met the man before in my life. And it got to the point where we were there all summer. I had to go each week, it seemed like. I looked forward to going down and talking to him. We'd get down, and each day we'd talk about church on Sunday. He'd talk about his church, his pastor, the services, and what was preached. We'd talk about my church. It was a blessing to fellowship with him. To the point when we left, we exchanged information. You see, what it amounted to is we had one thing in common, that was Christ. And we were able to enjoy our time together because we were believers. Another story I'll give to you I thought was interesting. An evangelist shared this with me. He said he was taking a flight. And he was sitting there. He got there real early and he was waiting. And there was another gentleman sitting across from him. And he began to try to talk with him. Well, the other gentleman couldn't speak English. And I believe he said it was French that he was speaking. Well, anyway, the evangelist said, "I pulled out a tract and gave it to him." He said, and the man looked at it, he goes, and his eyes lit up. He said, he reached in his bag and he pulled out a Bible. And he said, he started showing him the Bible. He said, he goes, and he pulled out in his Bible, he said, he was pointing, he goes, "I figured out enough that he was talking to John 3:16. And he said, he goes, "I'm not certain if he was saved." He goes, "But from all indications, he acted like it." He goes, "And it seemed like," he goes, "I sat next to him." He goes, "And we didn't talk the whole time," but he goes, "I was sitting next to a brother in Christ." He goes, "It was just a different type of atmosphere." You see, folks, that's what it amounts to. We have Christ in common, and so we can enjoy each other's company. In closing this morning, I mentioned it earlier, but it's interesting that, you know, in our social culture, I find it discouraging that some people are lonely and isolated, really. That's what we find a lot of. It's not really social. We're finding a selfish culture is what we find. And we have all the technology to be social, but it's just not happening. Let's just make sure that that doesn't dictate our attitude. Okay? Now I have no problems you bringing your phone and your tablets into church. But let's make sure we fellowship one with another too. Let's make sure we take time to fellowship one with another. And think of all the ways we can do that. You can do it on Sunday mornings, do it any time a service takes place, any time of activity. But you don't have to limit it to that. You can fellowship one with another throughout the week. Call, text, email, have lunch together. You see, there's just so many ways we can be an encouragement one to another. Help each other out. Just be there for one another. And that's an opportunity that we have simply because we're all part of God's family.